Good evening. Welcome to another Reflections in the Dark here on Firefall Talk Radio. I'm Richard Grund. Happy New Year 2016. Once again, flying solo. Joe's unable to be here. He should be back next week. That's what we're hoping. He's got a scheduling conflict. And as soon as that works out, he'll be back. So tonight, it'll just be me. So I am pilot and co-pilot, so you may want to buckle up. You just never know how this flight's going to go. Because we expose the unfruitful deeds of darkness for all to see, and we do it in a way that I don't believe anyone else does, mostly from experiential knowledge. The normal, paranormal, natural, supernatural, prophecy, end times, and current events as they apply through the lens of Reflections in the Dark. And of course, this is the home of SRT, the Supernatural Response Team. Broadcasting live from the Firefall Studio on Spreaker.com/user/Firefall Talk Radio. And that app, the Firefall Talk Radio app, I'm hoping will be available this week. And I will post it on the Facebook page or on the website. If you are not connected to the Facebook page, I would say do so, because that's where I tend to make most of my posts. And it's easier for me to do that. But the app should be ready this week. We are still storing the archives on the Blog Talk Radio site. Eventually, they will all be moved over here to Spreaker or to a folder on the Firefall Talk Radio main site. The Firefall Network on YouTube in 2016 will have more of the 5-minute reflections. We'll begin to post segments from SRT missions and teachings. And we'll see where the Lord goes with that. You know, it's just only so many hours in the day and in the week, but we really want to get to teaching more. We also have an account with Vimeo, where if we do the seminars and the online training, you will have to register and get a password to access it. We're just not going to post proprietary information on the internet for anybody to cut and paste and steal. We've had a lot of that over the last 5 years, and I am about done with it. So go to the Facebook page and like it. If you don't know where it is, go to firefalltalkradio.com. Look for the Facebook icon and click it. There's a Twitter icon there as well. Been an interesting week as we go into the new year. Want to start out just talking about, I went to the movies, and you know that's not unusual for me. I finally went to see Star Wars The Force Awakens. I waited till the crowds went down, and we went on Saturday pretty early in the day. So there were people there, but it wasn't crazy. And I'm not going to give away the film if you want to go see it, so there'll be no spoilers, as they call them. I just find the timing of this film and the rebooting of the franchise, because that's what this is, and the reintroduction of the Force to a generation of people, an audience that really didn't know much about it, I find the timing interesting. It was an enjoyable movie. There were things about it I liked. There were things that I didn't. Would I see it again? Yeah, there was like I said, there's a lot of action. It was a fun film, especially if you've seen the originals. But the battle between light and dark, the battle between the dark side and the light side, is just like it was in the very first film. There was changing in characters and the shiftings in the stories, but for me it was essentially a reboot. Even more interesting for me were the previews. You know, if you go to the movie now, they play this on demand or whatever it's called, a first look. And you look at what's coming in movies and television and video games and various media. Between the first look and the previews, I just sat there with my eyes wide open and my mouth agape. It was one film or TV promo after another about superheroes, about gods, about demons, about magic. It was an inundation from Disney, the family company, of things that are shaping the way people think, especially our youth. Because if you know, Disney owns Marvel, they own ABC, they own ESPN, they own all these things. They control a very large segment of what goes into people's minds. But there was one promotion that I did not know about that I watched it and did some research. And I just sat there just shaking my head. It's so obvious that they are laser targeting our youth. And here's why. Anybody over the age of 25, 30, they're set in their ways. Their opinions are not going to be molded. Their religious viewpoints are not going to be molded. Of course, we do know that people's lives change spiritually after the age of 30. Mine did at the age of 32. But the point is that whatever your values are have been molded. So they are targeting the elementary school crowd, the high school crowd, the elementary, middle school, high school, and, of course, the college. Well, there was a promotion for a limited-run 10-episode series that's going to be on MTV. Yes, MTV. Targeting our youth, called the Shannara Chronicles. I'd never heard of it. It's actually based on a best-selling book that dates back, I think, to the 70s, 25 books by an author named Terry Brooks. It's a fantasy genre, just one of many that is invading television. It's, according to TV Guide, it's a cross. It's an epic adventure, kind of like Peter Jackson's Lord of the Rings, and you'll see a lot of the same people in it and a lot of the same type of characters. But basically what it is, Shannara's four lands that exist after, unlike some of these films which are either before or in an alternate reality, this is after civilization falls apart. And the 25-book franchise began in 1977. But now, in 2016, it's reaching the air. And it follows a family 100 years after the destruction of our own civilization, whose magical powers perpetually reshape the future of the world. It's not Middle Earth, it's Future Earth. And it's a time when technology has died out, magic has re-entered the world, and now is subsequently dying again. Elves are running things. Humans are considered a subpar species. There you go. And after enjoying 100 years of peace and calm, a demon army threatens to escape its ethereal prison. I wonder what that's talking about. And a dying tree known as the Elcries is about to bring a future apocalypse. And it's up to the three very attractive MTV-type actors to be heroes and go on a dangerous quest to restore order to the four lands and vanquish the demons. And as I watched the preview, the demons are very demonic, just like the Lord of the Rings, except J.R.R. Tolkien was a believer and inspired as much. I don't know the history of Terry Brooks. I'd have to know where he's coming from. But you have elves, you have humans, you have trolls and other species that have risen up to inhabit this magical world. And it's got everything the kids love. Monsters, wizards, creepy bad guys, and good-looking heroes. And a magical talisman known as the Elf Stones to bring it all together. And the trailer's online. Matter of fact, I will post it on SRT's Facebook page either tonight, probably tonight before I shut down here, just so that you can see it. What got me was, A, the target, the youth, MTV. And the one show after another, whether it's regular television, whether it's syndicated television, whether it's the movies, whether the video games, it's a very current, concurrent theme. And the theme is humans are subpar. There are elves, which I think represent the angelic realm. There are the demons and the trolls, which represent the demonic realm. And for me, it's a desensitizing of our youth and young adults for the days ahead. Check it out. If you have kids in that age range, they're going to lock on to this series of books because of the promotion of this show. and the money that is being spent, the effects are pretty amazing. Yeah, very much a Lord of the Rings type of budget. So just pay attention to it. We'll talk about it more. Like I mentioned last week, the gods of Egypt and some other things that premiere. Let's see. First preview, something about dragons, a cartoon, Captain America Civil War, then Gods of Egypt, and then it just one rolled into one supernatural magical thing after another, demons, and just like, wow, wow, wow. But here we are. That's the world we live in. And unlike many churches out there, we here believe in the supernatural. We live it. And so we talk to you about it. If you're sitting in a place that doesn't, if you're sitting somewhere and they don't believe in the supernatural, they don't believe in the gifts, they don't believe in the demonic, have fun with that. Let me know how it works out for you. A lot of earthquakes. You know, earthquakes being one of the signs. Well, there's a whole lot of shaking going on. Very quickly, 6.3 earthquake struck the South Pacific Ocean, 650 miles south of the Australian island state of Tasmania. No tsunami warning. Canada, 4.8 earthquake in Canada felt across the northwest Washington state area. No major damage. The USGS said the earthquake struck about 11:40 this week and on a Tuesday night. No recorded damage, even though they did feel it in Washington state. Edmond, Oklahoma. Oklahoma's rolling, and I think that's because of the drilling. And many of the earthquakes occurred in swarms in areas where they are injecting wells with salt wastewater, which is a byproduct of the oil and gas production. But Edmonton, Oklahoma, 4.2. There's a lot of fours rolling across Oklahoma. And don't get me wrong. Even though they're man-made, they're still shifting the plates. Everything is. If you ever played pickup sticks, I'm really dating myself now. But when one of the big games was playing pickup sticks, where you had to pull out a stick and not cause the whole pile to collapse. Well, sooner or later things began to shift, and it got to the point where there's no chance. You pull that one more, and they all collapse. That's what's happening with these plates. New Zealand, 5.4 on the Richter scale. India had a 4.6 outside of Pakistan, another one. Let's see, New Jersey. Yes, folks, New Jersey. New Jersey had a 2.1, 2.2 outside Ringwood, New Jersey, which is not far from Suffern. They felt it all the way there. And what's so odd about that? It happened on a dormant fault. Very rare earthquake. Northern California, fours and threes and 4.5s. This one was on Monday, a 4.9. Washington State had their own 3.1. A lot of birth pangs and tremblings. Now, some of this is natural. It's just a natural byproduct of the earth expanding and collapsing and releasing and doing what it does. But just like I said, like the pickup sticks or the Rubik's Cube, sooner or later, everything lines up. And I believe that we're in a time of birth pangs and trembling. And 2016, in my opinion, will be a time of tribulation, agitation, and trouble. Now, if you listen to The Porch on Wednesday nights, and you should, you know I talked about all of those things, but from the hope that we have, and why we have hope, and what our hope is in. But the tremblings have begun. And the trouble for 2016 didn't waste any time. As we speak right now, as I'm on the air, there's trouble in Oregon. In Burns, Oregon, actually 50 miles outside of Burns, there is a natural wildlife building that local ranchers have taken over in protest. 150 militia members and the sons of Nevada rancher Clive and Bundy have taken over the building. And they have seized the buildings to stop them from doing what they do. And what do they do? Well, right now, the Bureau of Land Management out in Oregon, we've talked about it, they had some trouble with the Bundys. They are putting two farmers in jail, claiming they are terrorists because they controlled burn, went a little further than it was supposed to, and even though they stopped the burn and fixed the damage to the land. They've been railroaded, in my opinion, from what I know of the story, in federal courts, and they're going to be put in jail for 5 years. Really, what this is all about is to break the spirit of those who own land, and this response is to that. The militia members are upset that these two ranchers, Dwight and Stephen Hammond, were charged under an anti-terrorism law. How that applies to controlled burning, I don't know, but they made it happen. And if you've ever been in court, you really know that it has little to do with the law and a lot more to do with the system. The militia members believe the Hammonds were illegally prosecuted, and they are protesting it, and they have dug their heels in, and they've taken this building after doing the peaceful march. 300 protesters marched through Burns before taking over the federal refuge. They don't plan on leaving in the foreseeable future, according to an unnamed source. Now, here's the problem. I get it. People are fed up. I get it that a lot of people are tired of government overreach. My concern is that this will either be the next Waco or the fuse that ignites a civil war, depending upon how it's handled. When the Bundys had their problems, if you remember, what started out as a small group of people protesting, Patriots supporters came from everywhere, and cooler heads prevailed. Well, I don't know. There's something about this that is either very staged, meaning that somebody wants this to happen, or people are riled up to a point that could get ugly. If you don't remember Waco, if you don't remember David Koresh and what our federal government did to men, women, and children on that ranch, you need to do your homework. I've watched the videos. I've seen all the reports. I've seen the investigation. I've read the news stories of how the federal government could have arrested David Koresh the day before when he was in town at the local gun range, but instead they waited until the next day when he would have been back at the ranch. And what took place that day, in my opinion, was serious abuse of power, and we could be on the verge of that. So keep that in your prayers. There are a lot of people trying to calm things down, but I don't know, because it's happening on the same week that there are rumors that the federal government is going to enact executive gun laws through executive orders, which will just throw some more fuel on a fire that's already burning. So keep that in your prayers. At the same time, we have riots going on in Iran and Saudi Arabia. In Saudi Arabia, Iranian protesters have ransacked and set fire to the Saudi embassy in Tehran after Saudi Arabia executed an outspoken Shiite cleric who had criticized the kingdom's treatment of the Shiite minority. Now, if you don't understand it, the problem in the Middle East, even amongst Muslim, is between the Shiite and the Sunni clans. So Saudi Arabia is Sunni, and they executed a Shiite cleric along with 46 other men. The cleric was among 47 men executed on terrorism-related charges because he criticized the government. Iran has condemned it, and they've allowed the people to ransack the Saudi embassy. And there's fears that this is going to cause increased sectarian tensions across the Middle East and escalate what's going on there. Saudi officials said that their mass execution, one of the largest in decades, was aimed at deterring violence. Well, I don't think you got that effect. The Supreme Islamic Shia Council in Lebanon calls it a grave mistake and a flagrant violation of human rights. The Ayatollah Khatami, a leading Iranian cleric, said the repercussions would bring down the Saudi ruling family. He told the Mehr news agency, "I have no doubt that this pure blood will stain the collar of the House of Saud and wipe them from the pages of history. The crime of executing Sheikh Nimr is a part of a criminal pattern by this treacherous family. The Islamic world is expected to cry out and denounce this infamous regime as much as it can. The Saudi foreign minister has announced they are severing diplomatic ties with Iran, and they are recalling their Iranian diplomatic personnel and telling all Saudi personnel, families, and workers, you have 48 hours to leave. This does not look good. I believe personally this will just simply embolden ISIS at a point that the Middle East is on the verge of erupting. Do you see a pattern here? We've talked about it a lot, and I've been talking about this for almost a year. World War III is going to be in the Middle East, and it's going to be about Islam, whether it's the Shiite and Sunni war, whether it's ISIS, whatever it is, the whole world is going to come together to stop an Islamic threat of some sort. And now we talk about ISIS, which we've talked about before. According to ISIS expert Dr. Theodore Karasik, in 2016, ISIS wants to show its global reach, from cells to lone wolves to bedroom jihadists, to target landmarks and crowds in dozens of countries across the world. He has released a report that here's what he believes, and I believe he's telling the truth, that ISIS is getting ready to activate hundreds of sleeper cells in dozens of countries, kind of like San Bernardino. This was not a recently radicalized husband and wife. They were preparing for the last 2 years, and by their own friend who supplied the rifles, were a sleeper cell. In an unprecedented bid to destabilize Western governments and spark a huge military retaliation in the Middle East. Now, why would they do that? Because they believe this is the end-time apocalyptic war that will bring the Mahdi, the Messiah, when we believe it'll actually bring the Antichrist. So there were fears of a New Year's Eve terror plot in London that didn't come about, one in New York that they thought for Times Square was supposedly defused when they arrested a Rochester man who was planning it. Get ready, folks. 2016 is going to be a lot more of what we've seen from ISIS. Paris, San Bernardino, those were just the beginnings. Those were just a preview. They've carried out more than 50 attacks in 18 countries and killed 1,100 people, injuring 1,700 since it declared itself a caliphate in 2014. And they are expected to up that number and up the number of major terror attacks, according to Dr. Karasik, a Gulf-based analyst of regional geopolitical affairs, who has extensively studied ISIS behavior. He warned, quote, and this is something I think is something to pay attention to, the ISIS media operation. Yes, terrorist groups now have social media where they taunt their enemies and they inspire their followers. ISIS's media operation is taunting its enemy to come fight their final battle. But first, it wants to show its global reach and zeal. And they're going to do what they do, and they're doing it very well. Because according to the ISIS leader, he released an audio message stating that they're doing well and they be confident that Allah will grant us victory. Folks, when you have people that committed to doing violence, there's really not much you can do to stop it, but you have to do everything to respond to it. The ISIS chief, in his message, which has been the first in nearly a year, has referred to the formation of a Saudi-led coalition of 34 Muslim nations against ISIS, and that has emboldened them to respond. So you see the Saudi-led coalition against ISIS, then you have the Muslims who support ISIS, and then we're getting sucked into the vacuum in between. And one of his comments I find very interesting. Quote, "You will never find comfort in Palestine. Palestine will not be your homeland or your home, but it'll be your graveyard." And he's speaking to those that think that that's the peace between the Jews and Palestinians will ever come about. There'll be no peace. He's even taunted America to not send troops to Syria and Iraq because they claim that the Americans are afraid of them. And I saw another article, I don't have it here on my notes, where somebody who had been a prisoner of ISIS and got away said the only military that ISIS is afraid of is Israel's military. And that's because Israel will do whatever it takes to defeat them. We will not. So they're going to destabilize Lebanon, Israel, Jordan, and the Gulf states, and they're going to trigger the final war. How does that affect us? Well, it hasn't affected us much because we haven't seen a Paris-like attack. We did see San Bernardino. I live near two extremely big theme parks, one very close, and very many tourist attractions. During peak seasons, there are millions of tourists in Orlando. What a perfect place to pull off one of these things if you really wanted to get a response. New York City, Los Angeles, Atlanta, all of these places. If you want to make an impact, if you want to give a message, that's what we need to pray about in the coming year. I've mentioned it before, and I don't know if anybody's taken up on it, but if you want to learn to be aware and you can pull together a group of people, one of the members of SRT, former founding member, former retirees, a retired Navy SEAL, founding member of SEAL Team 6, does awareness seminars from a biblical perspective. You want to learn the things he teaches you so that you can be aware and prepared and know what to do in the time of an event. If you want information about that, go to either firefalltalkradio.com or supernaturalresponse.net. Send me a message and I will forward it to Larry. At the same time, ISIS is ramping up its activities and its threats and its violence. We're about to see a renewed push by the federal government for gun control. Now, don't get me wrong. I think protecting people is a good thing. I also believe giving people the ability to protect and defend themselves is an even better thing because law enforcement and the military are reactive and they will always get there long after the event is done. So I am a firm believer in self-defense in any of its forms. So at the same time ISIS is saying we're coming, the federal government is looking to tighten its firearm restrictions and essentially disarm America if it can. Now, we know that that's all been a part of the master plan. You cannot subject a nation till you disarm it. That was one of Adolf Hitler's founding principles. Every country that has ever been ruled by a dictator before it subjected its citizens had to disarm them. I don't see how that's possible in America with the number of people that have licensed legal handguns. I'm not even going to talk about the criminals because the laws don't apply to them. I don't see how they're going to do that, but I will say this back to the story in Oregon. If a encounter or skirmish or civil war breaks out, even in its smallest form, you will expect to see some form of martial law take effect. Things that we do not want to have happen. So apparently, according to anonymous news reports, the president will be meeting with the attorney general this week to finalize a series of new gun control measures that they will announce to the public and sign into effect via executive order, bypassing the Congress and the House and our legal representatives to do what they do. Wow. That's not good. It was just really, really, really not good. But it's going to happen. We know that. I'm not foolish enough to believe that we're going to stop anything. I'm just hoping that the Lord will slow things down a little bit. Today, Vladimir Putin has signed an official document declaring the U.S. and NATO a threat to Russian national security. Okay, we have ISIS. We have the thing in Oregon. We have the gun control issue. And now we have Russia flexing its muscles by declaring that the U.S. and NATO is a threat to Russian national security. And NATO and the U.S. have basically been put on notice, according to Kremlin advisor Mikhail Popov, that NATO's enlargement in recent years closer to Russian borders presents an external threat to their country. In 2009 and 2011, NATO recognized four aspiring members, Bosnia, Georgia, Macedonia, and Montenegro, all near Russia. And the whole shifting that took place in the Ukrainian Civil War of 2014, Croatia, Albania, there's this massive chess game going on. And people moving their players in place for a final end game. And when you watch how it all plays out, what do you see on American television and the American news? Donald Trump this and Donald Trump that. And is his hair real? It's almost at the point, not almost, it is at the point. If you want real news and you want to know what's going on in the world, you cannot listen to American television or American news stations. You have to go to the BBC or elsewhere to find out what's really going on in the world. You're never going to get the truth, and you're never going to get both sides of the story. So go to wherever you go. Be careful who you get your information from. I don't listen to the Alex Joneses or those people of the world because they have an agenda. I don't listen to Glenn Beck. I stopped listening to him a long time ago. All these people have an agenda. They have people that pay their bills, so they have to say a certain thing. Spend time in prayer. Do your own homework. Come up with your own opinion. Be careful what you agree with and come into agreement with, because two cannot walk together unless agreed. Amos 3:3. So if you come into agreement with something, you are subject to whatever they are subject to. 2016, we're going to see a ramping up of the police state mentality based upon the fear of shootings, based upon the fear of ISIS, based upon all those things, which will mean more surveillance, random, possibly illegal strip searches, police shootings of unarmed citizens because they're afraid, criminalization of lawful activities, just on and on. We're seeing all that already. I am a fan of and a defender of law enforcement. I've had friends in it. I've had family members. Well, no family members. I'm Italian. That's right. I'm an Italian from New York. We didn't do that. I have friends that were ex-military and law enforcement. So I have a respect for the ones that are good. But what I'm seeing is a younger batch that are ill-prepared to handle the stress of the moment, who shoot first and ask questions later. Well, as the pressure increases, as people's responses become more irrational on both sides of the equation, that's not a good thing to have. The whole militarized police, we saw it with the Boston bombings. Do you remember that? When they were looking for those two suspects, they shut down Boston. They went door to door with military precision, by SWAT teams and tanks. kicking people out of their homes, whether they wanted to get out or not. That was just a dry run. Waco, way back then, was a dry run. How much can we get away with? Can we get away with executing women and children? And they did. Regardless of what you think about David Koresh, what he did or didn't do, or what the search warrant or what they said happened, they executed women and children, burning them alive, and then shooting them as they came out of that burning building. And there's video to confirm that. And they got away with it. Nobody said a word because he and his followers were demonized by the news media. There can be no peace until the Prince of Peace comes back, folks. When they say peace, peace, expect sudden destruction. The First Amendment, freedom of speech, according to Benjamin Franklin, without freedom of thought, there can be no such thing as wisdom and no such thing as public liberty without freedom of speech. Well, try to speak out against a certain religious group and see what happens to you. There's no freedom of speech anymore. You are not allowed to criticize. You're not allowed to speak out. And if somebody just makes a complaint now that what you say, I probably have stepped over the line a couple of times over the last couple of weeks, though I try to be careful. If they declare you as hate speech, if somebody files a complaint against you and declares you as hate speech, you will get taken off, you'll get suspended, or you'll just get permanently barred. But the principle of a free government, whether you agree with what the person is saying or not, is to be able to express their opinion, especially of the government, without fear of retaliation or repercussions. But censorship and political correctness and basically bullying on a national level have entered into the place that if you say anything other than what they think is good, it's considered a hate crime. And you are propagating hate, therefore you must be silenced. I wish somebody would do that for the Christians. I wish they would enforce that for the Christians, but no, we're fair game for everybody and anybody. George Washington said this, "If men are to be precluded from offering their sentiments on a matter which may involve the most serious and alarming consequences that can invite the consideration of mankind, reason is of no use to us. The freedom of speech may be taken away, and dumb and silent we may be led like sheep to the slaughter." I think he was talking about this decade. So at the same time that's happening, you have to watch what you say. You got to watch what you write. You got to watch who you criticize. You cannot criticize a specific religious group, or it's a hate crime. You can't do it. You can't make jokes about them, or they'll come kill you, and everybody will be in agreement with them. We expect in 2016 to 2020, this period of the next 4 years, that the skies will be filled by 30,000 drones owned by corporations and government agencies alike in what's being called as the $30 billion drone invasion. Right now in Las Vegas, they're having what they call the Consumer Electronics Show, CES. It's the world's largest show of its kind, and it will be a buzz, no pun intended, with flying drones, virtual reality headsets, and trunk full of smart wearables and automated gadgets for your home. I've got a question, and I probably need to get somebody to answer that for me, either on air or in a recorded interview. I get these offers all the time from AT&T and these various communication entities for their new security system that is run via Wi-Fi from my smartphone and can control everything all the way down to turning on and off my lights, closing the garage door, changing the heat or the cooling in my house. Well, if I can do that from my smartphone, tablet, or computer device, couldn't a hacker or somebody who's really good at all that do the same thing? If I lock my doors based upon an electronic device attached to a router, a Wi-Fi router, or attached to a satellite transmission from AT&T or DirecTV or whoever, couldn't somebody hack into that and turn it off? Couldn't somebody change the heating and the air in my house or open my garage door or turn my TV on and maybe turn it on to a channel that I wouldn't normally watch but then goes on my bill and then somebody plants stuff on your computer? This is just at a point where you just want to... I sent Joe Citrone a picture of my next smartphone, and it was two cans with a piece of string attached. It's getting to the point that nothing is safe, that we are heading into a place of absolute insecurity in a time when we should be the most secure. But that was I went off road on that thing. I was talking about drones and the Consumer Electronics Show. This event that's going on this week will have 25,000 square feet of space dedicated just to drones. That's a 200% increase over last year to accommodate 25 exhibitors. In 2014, there were just four. That's the way of the future. China-based DJI is kicking off the week with details on what they're calling a developer challenge to create a news app and features for its flying copters that are equipped with 4K cameras. Attendees and those that are invited will be able to check out the drones, shoot video in virtual reality in the 360-degree formats controlled by a virtual reality headset on their heads. I don't know. We're heading into the whole Terminator mindset pretty quickly with technology, with everything else. It's frightening. It's frightening. Give me a place on a beach. Let me put my feet in the sand, spend my time in prayer, and I'll be happy. Wait for the Lord. Scientists believe that by the year 2045, a particular company that employs these scientists, a company called Humai, H-U-M-A-I, it's an artificial intelligence company owned by Josh Boccanegra, that they'll be able to resurrect the dead. So at the same time, all of this craziness is going on, the push to become like God is greater than ever before. This new company aims to extend and enhance life by freezing human brains for extended periods of time using cryogenics and a deep freezing technology, and then putting them into artificial bodies. But that's not the ultimate goal. That's really not what they want to do. That's just what they're going to do while they can. Do you know what the ultimate goal is? To take a functioning human brain out of a dying body before it dies and putting into an artificial bionic body. I remember in the 60s and 70s watching movies and TV shows. Science fiction writers were talking about this then. And now, they're working towards it. The owner, the entrepreneur Josh Boccanegra, claims that they will be able to transplant a live person's brain into a bionic body and achieve a point where no one ever has to die. And he thinks that they can do this in the next 30 years. Usually when somebody says they think they can do it in the next 30 years, they're already on the verge of being closer to it than ever before. And then it'll happen sooner and they'll say, wow, surprise, we got it. And of course, there have been critics of him and what he claims. And his truthful claim, I believe, is that, quote, there are promising breakthroughs happening every year in neuroscience and biotechnology. technology. We plan to implement these breakthroughs as we work towards performing the first surgical procedure of restoring and implanting a human brain into a new bionic body. I guess the whole anti-aging thing has gone beyond wrinkle creams and Botox and billions of dollars worth of profits. It has to go to the next level. It has to go to, do you want to live forever? Even Bill Maris, the head of Google, multi-billion dollar investment arm, even the tech moguls at Google are working and funding research into longevity. They don't call it immortality. That's too creepy and tells you. They're calling it longevity. And Mr. Maris believes that when it's all said and done, people can live to be 500 if they want to. I don't know, that whole Genesis 6 thing and you want to live forever. I don't. I'd rather live forever in eternity with the Lord in paradise in my heavenly body. I don't want to be in this body. They have the tools and life sciences to achieve anything you have the audacity to envision, Bill Maris says. And in his quote, was, I just hope to live long enough not to die. Co-founder of Google, Sergey Brin, believes that one day death will be cured. And he has plunked close to $30 billion into research to defeat the aging process. Software mogul Larry Ellison, the fourth richest person in the world, has called the acceptance of inevitable death incomprehensible. And British theorist Aubrey de Grey believes the first person who will live to be 1,000 years old has already been born. That's what we're entering into. This final part of this decade. Somebody wrote me recently and said, do I believe the Lord will come back in 2016? You know, that's a big thing right now. The rapture, whether you believe in pre, mid, trib, no trib, here a trib, there a trib, everywhere a trib, trib. Whatever you believe is up to you. But do I believe the Lord could come back? Of course, the Lord could always come back at any time. Do I believe the elements are in place for that to happen? No, I believe some things are missing. In my limited understanding, what I mean by limited is I study it, I read about it, I'm in the Word, and I read everything that's going on out there. I have a finite mind. Only a God with an infinite mind really knows. My response to the question, do I believe the Lord will come back in 2016, is we will know by the Feast of Tabernacles, September, October this year, whatever it is. Because if he hasn't been back by then, we'll be waiting another year. But as we enter in what could be the kicking off of the final plan to create order out of chaos, we have to pay attention to everything. We ran the gamut tonight talking about movies, television, the indoctrination of our youth, earthquakes, militia, civil unrest. Basically, that's what we will call that, is civil unrest. ISIS, Russia, the United States, the Middle East, Israel, Palestine, tribulation, agitation, and trouble. And what amazes me, and I guess now we're into the personal commentary part here, which we're kind of always on, but the number of people, ministries, televangelists, those that raise a lot of money to do what they do, who at the beginning of the year send out these emails and messages and TV clips and video clips talking about this is the year of Jubilee, this is the year of breakthrough, and then they give you their personal formula for how they came up with it, or they may even say, the Lord told me. And folks, it never happens. Now, I'm not against words. I've given them. But I am against words that don't get fulfilled and don't line up with the Word of God, the Bible. I am against manipulation. I am against telling you a lie. I would rather tell you the truth than have you not like me, than lie to you, and A, have you not trust me and help you to your own destruction. Like those who say peace, peace, when there can be no peace. So here is my word for 2016. It's not breakthrough. Well, you can have spiritual breakthrough. You can have personal breakthrough if you're willing to spend the time on your knees, on your face in prayer, turning off all the devices and getting alone with the Lord, getting into the Word, listening, whether it's Wednesday night or some other place that'll give you a pure Word. Oh, you can have personal spiritual breakthrough. You may have breakthrough in your marriage. You may have personal breakthrough in relationships. But if you're looking for economic breakthrough, where's that going to come from? That's not going to come from this fallen world system. And as far as I know, manna doesn't rain down from heaven anymore. And I can't find anywhere in the Bible where gold coins, gold teeth, jewels, or angel feathers ever fell from the sky. No, we're heading into a time of faith because it's a time of tribulation, agitation, and trouble. In the world, you will have tribulation, the Lord says, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. He didn't say I stopped the tribulation. Nowhere in the Word does He say I'm going to stop it until He stops all of it at the same time and puts everything back to the way it was supposed to be in the Garden of Eden. Until that time comes, it's going to get bad. It's going to get really dark, and in the darkness we will shine brighter. But if you've ever been in that kind of darkness, there's nothing comfortable about it. I love to listen to these people. Well, we're just going to shine so bright. Have you ever been in that kind of darkness where you can't see your hand in front of you? There's something unsettling about it. There's something incredibly disconcerting and troubling about that kind of a darkness. But I have no fear because I know whom I serve and I know who is in me. So you can listen to whoever you want to listen to. You can read all the newsletters and all the emails and all the postings about breakthrough and about Jubilee. And you can buy all their DVDs and books, and the only people getting breakthrough are them. Or you can set your mind on things above. You can set your mind on the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and say, Lord, what does your word say? Until it's all over and He sits on the throne and the four square city hangs above Jerusalem and we're in the 1,000-year millennial reign, there's going to be no peace. There's going to be no seven hills of influence that we're going to change the world so that the king can come back. I'm sorry, folks, that doesn't line up with the word. The word says that the enemies are going to become more powerful and the darkness is going to become a deep darkness over both the earth and the people. And those that believe in Yeshua, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, those that believe in Him will be slaughtered at a record rate. That this world will hate us. But our hope isn't here. We have a blessed hope, not an earthly hope, not a political hope, not a financial hope. Our hope is in Him. So what do you do during these times? I'm not here to frighten you. I'm not here to scare you or do all those things. I'm here to help you get ready. I'm here to help you be prepared. I'm here to help you make quality, knowledgeable decisions. But I will not lie to you. I will not manipulate you. So here's my word that the Lord gave me for 2016. And maybe it's just for me, but I'll share it. During prayer, on New Year's Eve when I went outside to blow the shofar, which I do. Usually I hear the voice of the Lord say something to me. And this year I heard, gird up your loins. If you don't know what that means, I'm going to teach on it on Wednesday night. But when the Bible says, gird up your loins, because of the type of clothing that they wore, it was easier to run and easier to fight when you pulled the back of the garment through your legs up in front of you and tucked it into your belt and knotted it off, kind of like a diaper or a pair of gym shorts, so that it didn't get in the way of running or fighting or moving. It's also a spiritual implication of get ready. Gird up your loins. Gird up your loins with truth. Gird up your loins with the word. Gird up your loins to have the ability to stand, and when having done all, stand. Gird up your loins and get ready. Put on the shoes of the gospel of peace. Get ready. Understand the armor of God. Understand the power that's been given to you. Understand there is a supernatural world out there bursting into the natural to the point that there are, in my opinion, no veil between the two worlds, and they interact at will. And that there's only one thing that causes the enemy to flee. There's only one thing that puts the enemy on the run or on its knees, and that's the name of Jesus of Nazareth, Yeshua HaMashiach. There is no other power in heaven and earth by which a man may be saved or a demon may be subjected. You can't burn sage. You can't flick water through the air. You can't do any of these nonsense things that the enemy has inspired men to do and causes demons to laugh hysterically. You must have the power in the name, and it must be in your heart, and it must resonate on your voice. So the very first thing to do is, if you don't have that, if everything I've talked about tonight and we'll talk about in the weeks ahead scares you, then we need to deal with that. And the one way to deal with that is you must be born again. We don't talk about that a lot on Reflections in the Dark, but we're going to. Because this is Firefall Talk Radio, and the firefall we're talking about is the fire that fell on Mount Sinai when the law and the word was given. It's the fire that fell on Mount Carmel when Elijah destroyed the prophets of Jezebel. And it's the fire that fell in the upper room when we who believed were empowered with the creative power of our Heavenly Father to heal the sick, cast out demons, and set the captives free. That's what Firefall stands for. You must be born again. Don't tell me, well, you were prayed for as a baby or somebody sprinkled you with water. You must be born again. From your mouth and believing in your heart, you must confess Jesus of Nazareth, Yeshua, as your Lord and Savior. Believe that he died on the cross for your sins, rose from the grave. Believe that he's going to come back for you and all of us again to judge the living and the dead. Make him Lord of your life. Live in accordance with the word. Live in accordance with his will for us as laid out in the word. That's the only way you're going to make it. That's the only way we're going to get through what's coming, is to have faith, a supernatural abiding faith, an overcomer's faith. I'm a victor, and I'm not a victim. And that's what I hope you'll be too. Well, that's my rant for the night to close things out. Hopefully Joe will be back next week to give me a chance to catch my breath and bring the RPMs down a little bit, because once they start revving, if that's not there, I keep going. Hopefully you appreciate that. Tell people about this. Share the Spreaker link. Share Reflections in the Dark. Share the porch. Let's begin to get the word out. I've never done this, but we're going to make the push this year to get the word out, to spread things, and who knows where the Lord will take it. It's really dark out there, but we've got the light on, and we're going to leave it on. I'm Richard Grund. This has been Reflections in the Dark on Firefall Talk Radio.